Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond, and thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our ministry. I want to remind you to head over to our website. Again, it's patchworkheart.org, and you're going to find out some really great resources to help you grow in your faith during this difficult time. One that I want to point out to you is the Fearless Scriptural Rosary, where we've paired the scriptures that say, "Be not afraid and fear not," with the rosary. You can head over. It's a free PDF download. It's right on the opening page of our website. Just go to patchworkheart.org. I don't want to spend too much time talking about ourselves, though, because I have a wonderful friend with me. Her name is Susan Tassoni. She has been a long, passionate champion for the holy souls in purgatory and is recognized as leading the worldwide purgatory movement. The award-winning author of 13 best-selling books, including Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, Day by Day with Faustina, the St. Faustina Prayer Book for Adoration, and A Day by Day for the Holy Souls. In purgatory, Susan makes speaking appearances throughout the country. Over a dozen cardinals and bishops worldwide have endorsed her work. She is a frequent and popular guest on national radio and television programs, as well as social media. EWTN says that Susan Tassoni is the best-selling author in the history of the network. In 2013, she was featured in the groundbreaking documentary Purgatory, the Forgotten Church, and was on the cover of Catholic Digest magazine in 2017. She continues to tirelessly work to raise donations for masses for the Holy Souls. She holds a master's degree in religious education from Loyola University of Chicago, and has had the honor and privilege of being granted two private audiences with St. John Paul II, who has bestowed on her a special blessing for her ministry and the Holy Souls. So, Susan, welcome to the program, and thank you so very much for being here again on Young Catholics Respond.
Oh, Bill, you know what? You're one of my favorite hosts, and we go back a long way, and you've watched the Holy Souls come out of purgatory for many years, so I'm always enjoying doing a show with you, always. You're such a good host. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. And Susan, I want to chat with you, obviously, about this, fifth book that you've written on St. Faustina. So can you just talk with us a little bit about why you were inspired to write your fifth book?
That's always, a question I get, and, I don't know about other authors, but I never plan my books, what I'm going to do next. It's totally providence. Every book that was put on my heart truly came from the Lord. It came out of adoration. It came out of prayer, and the publishers can see that. And so last year, Bill, we did a great show on Day by Day with St. Faustina, and the book has sold over 15,000 copies. It's just doing extraordinarily well. And while I did it last year, in the middle of it, I realized that, I was including the revelations of Faustina, how she lived, her advice, how she sacrificed, and, how she worked with the nuns, what it was like in her daily life, and directives that were given to her from Jesus in conversations with Jesus, of course. And I realized, oh my gosh, that Jesus was speaking to her, of course, throughout the whole diary. And I thought, how am I going to get Jesus in this book? And I knew immediately Jesus was telling me something. He wanted a separate book just with his words, and his directives and his blueprint that he gave to Faustina and us. So that's how it evolved, right in the middle of me working on day by day with St. Faustina. Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You came from that moment when I knew I couldn't write an encyclopedia, that he wanted something separate just with his words. And that's what this is, to what we have now, Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, that came out in March. In fact, you can go on EWTN Live YouTube and you'll see a show that I did with Father Mitch Pacwa that would have already aired by now. It will have aired by the time we, you know, after you hear this show, you can go on and you'll see an in-depth review of the book with Father Mitch, EWTN Live on YouTube.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you know, Susan, the book really feels like it's for these times, right? It's for these times. We need Jesus to speak to us during these times. And one of the interesting things that I'd like to know, especially for these times, is how does Jesus define mercy, and how does it apply to us? Because, you know, what we're seeing in the world right now, we need authentic mercy. So how does Jesus define that?
That's a great question, because Jesus is speaking to us through COVID, and he's speaking through us through the unrest in our country. So the divine mercy message is the same as it was in St. Faustina's time, which the same things were happening. So it, as you said, it applies to us now more than ever, because Jesus was reminding Faustina and us of his mercy and his love. And he told Faustina that his greatest attributes, to meditate on his greatest attributes, and the number one greatest attribute was his mercy. And so how does that translate for us today? It means this, Bill: to be merciful to yourself and to others, and to exercise mercy, and to forgive yourself and others, and share disagreements without becoming disagreeable, and turn to divine mercy for advice and comfort. And one in the book, Bill, I have a perfect example of mercy. And so the book is laid out with all his words, everything that he said, and then a reflection on it. And so this passage I'm going to share with you, he said that when he was dying on the cross, he said, "I was not thinking about myself, but about poor sinners. And I prayed for them to my Father." And he wants our moments to be like that, especially, the moments at the hour of our death. But the moments daily is to be merciful, to pray for those that persecute you. And the reflection we have was about Napoleon. And when Napoleon was sentencing a man to death, and the man's mother pleaded for her son's life, and Napoleon insisted that the crime's gravity demanded her son's life and justice. And so she was sobbing, and she said, "Sir, I don't seek justice, but mercy." And he said, "He's undeserving of mercy." And she argued, "If he deserved it, it would not be mercy." So with that, Napoleon's heart opened, and he said, "I will have mercy." Now, if we want God's mercy, then we need to show mercy. Whenever we can be merciful to someone, we ought to show that person the same mercy that we desire from God at our life's last moment. And there was one other thing we added to the reflection about a Christian woman, and she was dying, and they asked her, "Are you going to receive your reward?" And with tears filling her eyes, she said, "No, I'm going to plead for mercy." And that line really jumped out at me, because if you watch EWTN, Father Groeschel had a wonderful show, Sunday Night Prime. And many times I was on the show with Father Apostoli, who took his place. But Father Groeschel would always say that when he stands before the throne of God, he is going to ask for mercy. So we thought that was a great example of what mercy looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. That is certainly so important, especially again for these times. I also wanted to talk with you a little bit more about what Jesus wants us to know for these times, right? I mean, Jesus is with us always, and he isn't going anywhere. He's made that promise to us. So, what does he want us to know as we go through these times?
These times. So this book really is it's a blueprint. its directives that he gave to Faustina and us. So first and foremost, Bill, and it just overwhelmed me, he wants us to know that he loves you, and that he created you. And this is all, these are all his words throughout the book, that he suffered for you and he died for you, that you are what he calls, and these are his exact words, his beloved. And he doesn't want you to be afraid. You have a mission to fulfill, he says. And he says, to do the will of God in all things, because at the hour of your death, you will have peace if you do the will of God. And doing the will of God actually is the shortest road to sanctity. Every major saint or every saint, period, you know, how did they become holy? They did God's will in the present moment. He wants us to go to confession. He wants us to convert. He wants us to say the chaplet. He wants us to receive Holy Communion as frequently as possible. He wants us to adore him. He wants us to pray and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners. And he wants us to pray and intercede for our families. So those are the things he wants us to know. And then throughout the diary, we take out, you know, the quotes where he says, you know, he says these things. And, you know, Bill, what surprised me most, you know, because I've been working on this diary for about 5 years, there were a couple of messages that he was reiterating and repeating over and over again. And one was, again, his love for us. And that he, in fact, we have an example of his, a conversation that Faustina had with him. And in the after she received communion, she was thinking of him, and she was telling Jesus that. And he says to her, well, I was thinking of you. And she said, well, what were you thinking about? He says, I was thinking about how I created you to be with me for all eternity. And he was looking forward to having you with him, her with him, us with him for all eternity. You know, he could have picked out, Bill, anybody. He could have picked out a billion souls to be born, but he picked out you, Bill. He picked out all the listeners. He picked out each and every one of us. And the fact of the matter is that he doesn't need us, Bill. He's self-sufficient. But because we're made in his image and likeness, we have a spark of him in us, and he can't live without us. So he never had to create us. There was a billions of possible souls that God saw, but he created you. That, you know, these souls could have been holier, Bill. They could have been smarter. They could have been far more interesting, but he didn't create them. There was something about you that attracted him to you, that drew him to create you. And I love what St. Catherine of Siena said in her dialogues. You absolutely do not need us, but you act as if you can't get along without us. He loves us more than anybody else, and he loves us more than anybody can. And he thinks about us day and night, waiting to admit us to his eternal glory. So that was one of the things that he wants us to know. He wants us to know to receive him, you know, and if we can't during these times, we have the spiritual communion, but it's the bread of the strong that you know, Faustina calls it. It's the summit of our faith is the Eucharist. He says that, you know, he talks about the abyss of his mercy, Bill. He said, look into the abyss of my mercy and give praise and glory to this mercy. So, Bill, you know, I looked up the word abyss and I did some research. And did you know that there really is an abyss here on Earth? It's part of the ocean, and it's usually called the abyssal zone. And it ranges from about 9,800 to 19,000 feet below the surface. And no one has ever explored its depths. So the word abyss means bottomless. So it's a good name for that area. Well, abyss is what our Lord uses. He says, look into the abyss of my mercy. And that is bottomless. So we have to remember that the next time we're fearful that our sins might be too great to be forgiven, no one has yet reached the bottom of God's mercy, and you're not going to be the first one. So it's his love. It's in the love I have every at the end of every single month, Bill. If you go to the at the end of every month in this book, you're going to read about his love for you, his great love for you. And then his mercy is an abyss. And he also repeats and reiterated, and I can't tell you how many times, I would say alongside the rosary is the chaplet. He just constantly tells us to pray the chaplet, especially for the dying. In fact, Bill, and again, it's in the book, there's a passage in the diary, and all the 5 years, Bill, that I've worked and pored over this diary, I never saw this passage. And of course, thank goodness, because he put blinders on me, so I stayed focused on the adoration book and the conversion book and the Holy Souls book. And then I did this book, and there was this passage where Faustina was very upset. And she said, you know, she said, I need to talk to you, you know, because I've got to share with you what's on my heart. And he said, okay, tell me what's on your heart. And she started to enumerate the pains of her heart on how concerned she was for all mankind, that they don't know Jesus, and that those that do know him don't love him like he's deserved to be loved. And she sees how many people offend him, and how the faithful, especially the faithful, are oppressed and persecuted. Doesn't that sound familiar? And she said she saw many souls rushing into the abyss of hell. And she said, you know, all of this gnaws at my heart, even though you show me special love, she said, and you inundate me with your joys. And she has these beautiful, you know, ecstasies. She said, it doesn't appease the suffering that I've mentioned to you. And she says, I just experience it even the more acutely. She says, I really desire that mankind turn to you and trust in your mercy. And then, so he was listening to her with great gravity, as if he never heard this before. And you know what he said to her, Bill? He said this: my daughter, those words of your heart are pleasing to me. And by saying the chaplet, you are bringing humankind closer to me. That's how powerful the chaplet is, Bill. So he's trying to tell us that he loves us. He's trying to tell us that he wants us to go to confession and to pray the chaplet. He's trying to tell us, don't be afraid. We have, you know, a passage where he says, don't be afraid. And he says that many times in the diary. He said, you know, that... So we talk about that. And one of the lines in my reflection is if you're tired of letting fear win, don't feed your fear, feed your faith, and your fears will starve to death. Those are some of the things that were special to him, were the apple of his eye and were precious to him. That's on and on and on. He talks about that, and he talks about how he delights in us. And, you know, I used to hear that all the time. Well, I mean, used to. I mean, we hear that in Scripture, how he delights in us and how he delighted in David. And I thought, you know what, there must be something more to that than what in my mind thinks, oh, he's smiling and he's happy. Well, there was. I talked with a priest friend of mine. And why did he delight in David? He delighted, you know, because David said, you know, he delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, this is the explanation that this great priest gave me. The Lord is, and this is in my reflection, the Lord is seeking in our hearts a true love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. And that's in Timothy. When we try to reflect God's love, his mercy and righteousness, he delights in us. He loves a heart that is striving to follow him, just like David. So that's really what that means when God delights in us, is because we're doing his will, we're being sincere, we're being righteous, we're being merciful. And that's what delight, you know, how he delights in us.
So beautiful. Susan, it is awesome to talk with you, as always. And we're talking with Susan Tassone for our listeners, and she is a world-renowned author and just incredible person who has dedicated her life to work with the Holy Souls in Purgatory. We have to take a short break here on Young Catholics Respond, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with you, Susan. So everybody stay tuned here on Young Catholics Respond. I'll be right back after these messages.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org. patchworkheartministries.org.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. We're talking with Susan Tassone. She is an incredible author and speaker and an amazing, amazing woman who has an incredible ministry centered around the holy souls in purgatory. There is no greater champion than Susan Tassone in the world than her when it comes to the holy souls in purgatory. But we're talking about her wonderful book right now, Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, which is a wonderful brand new book or newish book, I should say, that's out. Susan, I wanted to pick up our conversation with talking about spiritual warfare. And it's a topic that we hear a lot about in Catholic circles in the world today. And what does Jesus have to teach us about spiritual warfare during these times?
Oh, absolutely. He gave Faustina and us more than a dozen directives on how to protect ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. And here are a few. First of all, he said, don't be discouraged. He said, when boredom and discouragement beat against your heart, run away from yourself and hide in my heart. And then we have this great story about the devil that had a garage sale, and one of the tools that wasn't for sale was discouragement. And because he said that he can pry hearts open. So if you're discouraged and you're, it can paralyze us, but you can overcome it by not ignoring the suffering. When you practice charity, when you get out of yourself, that can, no matter how big that feeling is, it can evict the enemy of discouragement. He says, shun murmurs like the plague. You know, that means gossip. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Because I pointed out that the Israelites murmured. They murmured against Moses. And he even said to them, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Murmuring steals your joy out of your hearts. And the remedy is be joyful, be thankful. As St. Paul wrote, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Don't go down roads with curiosity. Don't go down different roads. We're going to have roads that are smooth, and we're going to have winding paths, and we're going to have bumps on the road, but God wants us to put our hand in His with total trust, because the soul that's consumed with curiosity can, wants to manipulate and dominate. So He doesn't want us to do that. He says, don't pour out your feelings. There's a dieter's motto, a moment on the lips is a lifetime on the hips. Well, we're not about reality shows and, the chatter that goes on back and forth, talking and, saying things that you might regret. What we said, our response to Jesus was not pouring out your feelings is, where do you pour out your feelings? The sacrament of confession. And under that sacramental seal, you can safely pour out everything you need to say. And under that sacrament, we're healed. Okay. And that was a big thing he said to us, don't put off confession, because it displeases him. And if you're nervous about confession, there was a cute story we put in there about a guy standing in line in confession, and the guy in front of him or behind him saw that he was nervous. And he, he said a prayer for him, and then he said to him, hey, don't get nervous. The devil's the one that should be nervous. But he constantly stressed the fact that it's the fountain of mercy. It's the miracle of miracles. It sounds easy, but it's all it takes is, you to go in there and him to take every sin off your soul, acknowledge your failures, and don't be ashamed or embarrassed because they've heard everything. It's not a punishment. It's a grace, and to be humble and to trust the Lord, because the confession also gives you strength to fight off those behaviors, those bad habits that we have. So there's a lot of other grace that we're not aware of when we go to confession. He says, don't neglect interior mortifications, meaning, if you get irritated, you know, try to, you know, try to, you know, put a zip on your lip, you know, try to not get angered so quickly, you know, so see that as an opportunity, as a sanctification. So choke back the words of anger and let the Holy Spirit, you know, bring forth the fruits of patience and suffering, or not suffering, but patience and charity. So, in fact, St. Francis de Sales says, believe me that the mortification of the senses and seeing, hearing, and speaking is worth much more than wearing chains or a hair cloth. And he says, you know, do God's will and you will not be judged. When you do the will of God and abandon yourself to his will, you'll have no fears on the day of judgment, only peace. So those are some of the things that he shared.
Mm. That's so beautiful, you know, and listeners, one of the things about our episodes with Susan is that there is so much packed in here that if you're listening to this on the radio, I encourage you to go back into our podcast feed and listen to this episode again, because Susan, you pour your heart out in these books and in these interviews so very much that there's so many things to encounter during this interview. And so much amazing wisdom and advice. So please, I implore you, even for myself, who's listening to Susan and recording this, I have to go back and listen to it again and again, because there's so much wisdom from your research and from your writing that is so rich. So thank you.
It's all in the books and more, actually.
I know, which is the reason why I'm saying people go and get the books, and get all of her books. But the one we're talking about today, of course.
The diaries, the two books on the diaries are fantastic.
Yeah, they really are. Susan, I want to ask that last question in the few minutes that I have left. I've got about 2 minutes. Talk to us about the families. Talk to us about the encouragement of the families.
What did Jesus say about families? He said, you know, it was so funny when I was writing the book, he said to Faustina one time, stay home. That's what he told her, stay home. He also, you know, he said that the families were jam-packed, although now we have the time to stay home. I like what I quoted Pope Benedict. He said, the family is the little church because it transmits God. It transmits transmit the love of Christ by the power of the sacrament of matrimony, and make the little church of your home a place of love and prayer. He also said to Faustina that he was very happy. She felt guilty because she was with her family and they were talking and she was enjoying herself, and she felt bad that she didn't spend some time with him. And he said, no, he said, I'm very pleased that you weren't talking with me, because you were making my goodness known to the souls, and you are rousing them to love me. So make, you know, share with your family, share your faith, and also forgive, because families are strengthened when we forgive one another. It doesn't mean we put up with each other's nonsense. We can be firm. And the goal is not to be hurtful. So it's important for spouses to pray together with their children, because it creates a spiritual bond in their marriage and in the family. Yes, we have all these activities, but it's also good, as Jesus said to her, it's good to stay home too. And we definitely have the opportunity to do that. And, you know, and to remember about the children, you know, I dedicated the book to the children because I found out there's two groups of souls that uphold the world and hold back his justice. And the two groups were the consecrated priest and religious. And the other group was the children. She said to our Lord, you know, she was praying for him about Poland. And she said, you know, for the sake of the children and their hunger and their cold, you know, please, you know, spare Poland. And he said to her, no, it is they who uphold the world. So it's their tears of these little ones that uphold the world, that children's suffering do not go in vain. I think it's in my book, Pope St. John Paul wrote about the suffering of children and what their sufferings do for the world. So nothing is ever in vain. We even did something about tears, you know, the tears, and that there's different kinds of tears when we cry. You know, when we cry tears of joy, scientists had magnified what those tears look like, and they look like a beautiful field. And when we cry tears of sadness, they look very ragged edges. Even the tears of our own eyes have meaning to God, and no tear is, you know, gone, you know, is never ignored. Those tears are being collected in heaven and will be, everything will be turned into joy at the end.
So amazing. Susan, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom, as always, and can't wait to have you back on as you continue to pour out your heart through these amazing, amazing books. So thank you so much for your time today.
God bless you, Bill, and thank you for sharing it with, you know, with these younger generation that's coming after us. I'm passing the baton on to you guys so you can take it forward to your children and your grandchildren. Thank you very much. You do a great job, Bill. Absolutely excellent. One of my favorites.
Amen, Susan. Likewise. Well, folks, until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.